If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. It's Thursday. Week has been moving by quickly. I guess after that short week last week, then we have a long week. You would think it would be slow, but it's the holiday season. Things are a little bit out of whack. Looking forward to the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Lot to talk about. A lot of opinions, a lot of facts. And so we'll get right into it. Going to continue to talk about this Daily Matlow show. I like my designation there. I guess we could call it the Matlow Daily Show, but listen, Daly's the mayor, so he will lead. And we're going to call this the Daily Matlow Show. And the reason I do that is because, you know, the more I talk to people around town, you understand that there's the 3-2 split on the city commission. And, you know, we got an election season coming up, 2022, number of seats up. And so, you know, people either try to govern or they just get caught up in politics. Now, the city of Tallahassee's got a professional workforce. Obviously, you know, I think it's almost 3,000 employees. And, you know, they're busy doing their jobs every day. They don't need a lot of political leadership. It's these selected, you know, issues like the $20 million to FSU Stadium or the Northeast Gateway. The ones that, I guess, that can generate a lot of discussion about the pros and cons. That's what the politicians really weigh in on. The day-to-day stuff is decided by people who are paid to do their job. But if you watch the city commission, you know, it is definitely split. I mean, we've got a 3-2 vote. I got a text from somebody said, I think we just broke the record for the most 3-2 votes on a city commission during a city commission meeting. This was a couple of weeks ago. And so, I mean, we can't avoid that. And it's two groups. It's Commissioner Matlow and Jack Porter, and then there's the group of Mayor John Daly, Curtis Richardson, and Diane Williams-Cox. Well, three of them are up for election. So, you know, again, in the people that don't have to work for a living sit around and plot how to take control so they can just get their way on these 3-2 votes. And so both sides will be putting up candidates trying to get, again, leverage on what happens. And, you know, I think, you know, we've just come through a number of years dealing with this corruption, which I think took the eye off of a lot of things that could have happened in Tallahassee. And, you know, in a way, what we're seeing now with this Daily Matlow show is we're seeing people that aren't focused on what needs to be done in Leon County and the city of Tallahassee. And when we start getting into this campaign season, we're going to really find out where people stand. So Commissioner Matlow has an opponent, David Bellamy, who I'm told is going to weigh in with quite a bit of money in terms of money being raised. And so you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means we're going to have a race. And I'll talk about this in the next segment on why I think this is really good for the community. And I'll dig into some more of this, you know, Daily Matlow show talk. Because, look, there's a lot of things going on in Tallahassee. And like the national narrative, we talked about this before, people want to split you up into groups. And that's what's going to happen in the election season. We're going to try to nip that in the bud here and talk about specific issues. But at the same time, understanding what they want to do, and that is to split us up. You know, it's here it's not Republicans and Democrats because there are no Republicans. It's more about those who have money and those that don't, you know, and we're taking advantage of, you know, there are a group of people that are taking advantage of another part of town. But we're going to, you know, are those factual statements or is it political rhetoric to get elected? We'll talk more about that. Also, we're going to pivot to the school board. And look, this is something I will tell you that I probably is a little close to home for me in the sense that I have children in public schools. But we're going to talk about how the specifics of how these outside groups are bypassing the school board, you know, bypassing the superintendent, and they're getting into schools and promoting these social causes. Specifically here in Tallahassee, we've talked about this before. It's gender-related issues, advocating for lifestyles, putting kids in middle schools in difficult environments where they have to deal with this with their friends. And we're going to name some names. Look, I'm tired of sort of beating around the bush. We've tried to reach out to school board members. They haven't been very responsive. So we'll get a little bit more aggressive on how we do that. But we'll the bottom of the hour, there is a person at the Leon County School Board that is, you know, I think serving a role that she shouldn't be serving. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the implications of that. Again, it's, you know, this is one of these things where you're talking about undermining democracy. This is exactly what's happening across the country in school boards, and we've got evidence of it here, right here in Leon County. And you lose control. The school board, five elected members and an elected superintendent are supposed to be running the school system. But it looks like there's no rules. You can do what you want to do in these schools. And I understand there's a management theory of delegating authority, but you still got to have some parameters. And I think we're off the rails here, and I'll explain. I'll support that position in the bottom of the hour. In our last segment, we'll run through the city agenda. We've got a new city agenda out. Couple of issues on there that are definitely worth talking about. We're going to spend, the commission is going to vote to spend $30 million on a project. Stick around. We'll tell you what that is. The city's independent police citizens board, they're going to be considering two new appointments. Actually, the incumbents that are on there are up for reappointment. They want to serve. We'll go over that a little bit. Talk about another bid property deal, which will probably send Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter through the ceiling. If they vote to go the no bid route, it's a small piece of property. We'll give you the numbers on that. And then also we'll talk about on the public hearing side of things, there is a public hearing for a new planned unit development on the southeast part of Tallahassee, which is huge. We've talked about it before here, but we'll give you some more of the parameters on that. Again, we see southeast Tallahassee. Again, we talk about the south side. This is east of South Monroe and south of Appalachia. That quadrant there, over the last 5 to 10 years, have seen a lot of development moving towards the urban core, towards the city from Southwood. You see on Tram Road, Tallahassee Classical. You see more state offices. You got the VA hospital. And so now you've got a $60 million investment in Rickards High School. And so this planned unit development, I think it's almost 1,000 acres, is right in the middle of that. So again, great opportunities down there to, sort of expand growth within Tallahassee. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see how the vote is on that, because that is definitely something that, it's as big as the canopy, if not bigger than the canopy development in the Northeast. So we'll see how the different city commissioners' perspective is on that and how they vote on this, because this is something that I would think would be open for growth for the next 5 to 15 years, given the size of the property. So we'll get you up to date on that. All right, when we get back, we'll talk about the Daily Matlow Show. Stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Hey, what you? All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Thanks for joining me today. You know, it's the holidays, and so a little loosey-goosey. And again, this is an opinion show, and I throw in a lot of facts. So I hope you can separate the two. And as you can tell, you know, the city commission, as we're referring to him today as the Daily Matlow Show. And I think there's a lot of reasons to do that. Mayor Daley and both City Commissioner Matlow have both been on the show. If you listen to the Daley appearance, I'm very upset about how the national political narrative he was pulling some of those issues into local government. And we talked to him about that, obviously. I mean, very upfront. Very upset with this abortion resolution that was supported by three of the members of the city commission. And the other side of that is Commissioner Matlow, who again has been on the show probably three or four times. Appreciate his transparency and his work on ethics. However, I will tell you that there's a couple of things on this. There's things that you can, it becomes actual to use the word transparent, that you're using one issue for another purpose. And I think that when we move into this political season, we've got to be careful to recognize that. I mean, you know, when you hear people that are pushing candidates use the term transforming, you know, that scares me a little bit. From a local political standpoint, transforming, you know, when you talk about ethics, that's one thing, but you're talking about transforming government here locally. That means that you're looking at some kind of movement and to have that kind of movement, you've got to tear down things. You got to say, look, there's so many things wrong. And I think what's happened is what we've seen from an ethics side has dominated the news because the federal trials and what happened with Scott Maddox and his associates and JT Burnett. But again, you know, that is an issue, but is that going to be used to cast aspersions on everybody in the city of Tallahassee, Leon County, in the name of transforming the city of Tallahassee? That's what you got to keep an eye on. Now, you know, Mayor John Daley's up for election, I think he's got one opponent. And, you know, I look at these opponents and I look at the money that's raised to see how legitimate they're going to be. And, you know, that may be unfair, but that's the world we live in right now. You look at the money. The second thing you look at is when these debates start is you look at someone's message, how they carry themselves. And again, that will generate money and it can overcome, the lack of campaign resources. So we'll keep an eye on that race. But initially, you're looking at money. Now, Commissioner Matlow is also up for re-election, and you know he's raised, I think, over $100,000, I think. Done a good job there. His opponent, David Bellamy, who's also a Democrat and is a doctor here in town, he got in the race, and I was waiting to see what kind of money he would raise. He's been here forever. I think he went to high school, Leon High School, I believe. And he's a doctor. His mother was on the city commission, actually was mayor for a little while. And so he has, you know, the connection to Tallahassee. But, you know, so we're hearing he's going to end up raising, you know, close to $100,000 at his next report. He raised 40 to begin with. So the point I'm bringing this up is that there's going to be a race. You're going to see ads. You're going to see negative ads. You're going to see PACs getting involved for both sides, I would think. And so obviously it's good for somebody in the business that I'm in because we get to talk about it, but I think it's going to be good for Tallahassee overall because what happens is you start to flush out, you know, you get questions asked and you get follow-up questions. And what happens is the issues, if you run a good campaign, and I'm talking about both candidates, it becomes a debate about real issues that matter to the city of Tallahassee. Now, you know, we'll see as these campaigns unfold. With Commissioner Matlow being in office for 4 years or 3 years, you can understand where his campaign is going. He's been in the minority of a lot of 3-2 votes. He is obviously strong on the ethics side. He is also a disruptor. I use that not in a negative way, although, you know, if you disrupt a lot, sometimes it can be a negative connotation. He's called Blueprint a sham, although he says he supports most of the projects with Blueprint. He voted against the Northeast Gateway, voted against the $20 million to FSU. I think that the interesting thing here is I know more about what he's voted against than what he's really, supported. And maybe that's an unfair assessment because when you're in the minority, you're really sort of just punching up. Commissioner Matlow is obviously not happy with the city manager. He's not happy with the police chief. Obviously not happy with Ben Pingree, who is the executive director or the leader of the Blueprint operation. So that's where he's coming from. I mean, that's when you when you talk about somebody who is not happy with that many things, it is a transformation. So I think his position on these issues are going to be, you know, they're going to be there, and it's going to be Dr. Bellamy's job to go and tell the electorate why, look, you know, maybe we have some issues. Maybe there's a better way than just being against these things. And look, if you look, for example, it's going to be interesting to watch this $20 million issue come back up next week in Blueprint, because, you know, what you're seeing in the media a lot is this issue is being used to really give Blueprint a bad name. And it's not a good issue. It's not a good look to be given $20 million to Florida State University because they've got a lot of money. But the context that's not being reported is that $10 million was given to FAMU, and everybody sort of voted for that. Another million was given to TCC. Some more people voted for that. But they're picking out the $20 million that was going to FSU as the issue to beat up Blueprint and say that this is going to the, you know, the well-heeled, and it's going to, you know, support those big businesses at the Tallahassee Greater Chamber or the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. Now, look, I wasn't a fan of the soft economic development money to begin with when we decided we were going to spend like 15% on it. If you look at the $20 million that went to FSU, as Commissioner Bill Proctor would say, you know, that money was going to go to the Civic Center. It was going to be used by FSU projects anyway. So that would be his argument. But I think, you know, if you look at Brian Welch's vote, he was going to give $15 million to FSU because he wanted, the real reason why he didn't want to vote for $20 million is he wanted to have $5 million left over for any other economic development projects. Well, that didn't pass. So I think on this debate next week, when we see this, you know, we're going to have Commissioner Matlow against the $20 million. We'll see if he talks about FAMU or TCC. And we're going to have Mayor John Daly, who's going to say, look, if you don't vote for this $20 million, you know, you're voting against FSU. Those are two extreme positions that define the Daly Matlow show, right? I mean, that's what I mean when I call the Daly Matlow show, is you've got extreme positions that put people in uncomfortable camps when you really could work things out. But I think that is going to be one of the biggest issues that people are going to be able to run against the incumbents on, is that we don't want you fighting. We don't want you trying to figure out who, you know, how many votes you need to fire somebody. We want you to solve problems. And, you know, I think that that will be one of the big issues in the elections that are coming up for the city. Now, the other one that's running for re-election is Diane Williams Cox, who actually, you know, I don't know that she's going to get an opponent. She's done a very good job of navigating through a lot of this this back and forth. And so we'll see if she does. But if she doesn't, the only two that will be running will be Daly and Matlow. And so, look, I think the best thing would be to have two good campaigns where you have credible candidates and you can make people take positions and understand what this community wants. Because, you know, one of the things is what a campaign does is it gets you out there, and if it's a spirited campaign with competition, it gets you out among the people, and your mind can be changed because you start interacting with people and you start seeing maybe my position on this was maybe a little bit extreme and I should moderate that. So I think that's what I'm hoping for, is two solid campaigns and, you know, and fettering out the positions on these issues that really matter to the city of Tallahassee. So anyway, we'll continue to obviously to cover the Daly Matlow show in future segments here, but that's all the time we have for that now, and we will, next segment, we will focus on the Leon County School Board and a group called Equality Florida and why that should matter to you, especially if you have kids in school. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. Waiting for the
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to Above the Fold. Here on Real Talk 93.3, it is Thursday. A couple breaking news items. First, Leon County School mask, I guess, opt-out plan is over. Now it's completely optional. You don't need any paperwork. I had almost forgotten about that. But now it's you don't need any paperwork to say you don't wear a mask. You can wear one if you want. That's due to some laws that were passed during a special session. And also, it looks like federal prosecutors are asking that JT Burnett be sent to prison pending his appeal because he poses a flight risk with resources and reasons and resources to flee. And so the I guess it seems to be that's the normal course of business is that when you're found guilty, if you do appeal, you still go to jail. Although his lawyers are arguing that he should remain free pending the appeal, saying that Judge Hinkle made errors involving jury instructions and testimony from an FBI agent serious enough to warrant reversal or a new trial. The prosecution argued otherwise, saying that jury instructions and testimony from the agent were appropriate and consistent. So anyway, we'll see what happens on that. Judge Hinkle will have to make the decision. I guess that's a pretty big one to decide if you're going to go to jail or be free on appeal. Because, you know, he definitely has the money to hire these lawyers that he has from D.C. to pursue this appeal. And an appeal means that you would, I guess you'd probably have to, if it was successful, would decide if it was a new trial or if it was just a part of the trial that the appeal upheld and then reversed. So we'll have to pay attention to that. Now, on to Equity Florida. Equality Florida, sorry. Listen, this is an issue that we've been talking about a lot, and I'm getting very passionate about because of the impact on middle school children here in Leon County, and something that we've tried to reach out to school board members. Not much of a response. And I will tell you, superintendent has talked to me about this a while back. We haven't engaged since then. Probably give him a phone call and see if we can get some more information. But the thing here is this. There's a group called Equality Florida, which is a political advocacy group that advocates for civil rights and protections for lesbians, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer residents of the state of Florida. Now, this group also has a PAC where they support political candidates and legislation that supports their mission. A lot of these groups out there, okay, on both sides of the aisle, but very few of them have the access to decision makers that Equality Florida seem to have. And, you know, when we go, but let me tie this up. And so, you know what Equality Florida is now, a political advocacy group. Now, we've been reporting on basically gender-related issues that have happened in Deer Lake Middle School with the gender transition plan without parents' knowledge. It's resulted in a federal lawsuit. And we've also reported on the promotion of social campaigns specifically related to LGBTQ issues at Montford Middle School. And we started asking, where are these administrators at school-level officials getting guidance or policies on what they can do related to these issues? And so we were sent some information about links to different groups that Leon County is using to guide them on these policy guidelines. And one of them was Equality Florida. And Dr. Kathleen Rogers, who is assistant superintendent out at the school board, was involved with both of these investigations that TOS Reports did, the one at Deer Lake and the one at Montford. At Deer Lake, the parents were told by Dr. Rogers that, look, we don't have to tell you about this gender transition plan. And the reason we don't is because we're supported by state law, state and federal law. All right, now that's going to be settled in a federal court case, so we'll see. But on the other side of this, at Montford, we found out that the authority or the, the acceptance of being able to push these social campaigns came from Dr. Rogers herself, as she was funneling emails that were newsletters from Equality Florida to people at the middle schools that were in charge of these groups that push the LGBT agenda. And so, I mean, again, this wasn't Dr. Rogers saying, okay, here is the school board policy on what you can do and what you can ask teachers to do. This was emails of newsletters from Equality Florida, which I previously told you is a political advocacy group that is basically supporting their, I would say, a progressive agenda. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but why do we have a Leon County assistant superintendent serving on a committee of a political advocacy group, then who is in return funneling newsletters and emails to middle school administrators telling them what they can and can't do or what they think are the best ways to address these LGBTQ issues? To me, that is completely circumventing elected officials, the five school board members, and the superintendent. And, you know, how long has this been going on? I mean, we've got the emails from Monford Middle School that showed this taking place. And so now I will tell you that the superintendent had made some efforts to for those emails to quit going out from Equality Florida. But I think the next thing to do now is to ask, why is someone that is employed and paid by taxpayers of Leon County involved in a partisan political group in an official capacity? And this is someone who sets policy, or I guess, you know, I don't, the thing is there appears to be no policy. This wasn't, you know, it was never voted on by the Leon County School Board, or nothing that I could see was. And so this is being done without the approval of elected officials. Obviously was done without the knowledge of the superintendent, because at the time on both of these issues, he was concerned that first he thought parents should be notified about these gender-related issues. Well, if you look at some of the outside websites they're using to drive guidance on this, they clearly say you don't have to tell parents about gender-related issues when they come up with students. And so this is a huge issue, I think, throughout the country. It's, as we will report next week, it's an issue throughout the state here in Florida. And what it is basically the bureaucracy. It's the line workers. It's not the elected officials that are driving this. Now, no doubt there could be in some counties where school board members are voting and saying, yeah, listen, we want to use Equality Florida's, I guess, their knowledge of these issues to develop policy. Well, then have a workshop, allow other groups to be involved. But to have this group, and I'll repeat this again, a political advocacy group on the left, to be involved in the day-to-day decisions of what middle school kids and what middle school teachers are going to have to respond to in terms of how they are advocating for a policy, I think is completely wrong. And I would think it would have to be against the law, because they're doing this. It's not being approved by political leaders. And so, you know, this comes back to the issue that, you know, a lot of superintendents like to, you know, it's a big school district. You're in charge of a whole school district. You've got, you know, 33,000 students, over 30 schools. And so you delegate a lot of authority to various schools, and that's fine. But you've got to delegate the authority within certain policies. You cannot just not know these things are happening. And I think that's the most concerning thing. And what is happening is you're creating an environment at these middle schools that is, first of all, it's one-sided. And it can also be, it can be very demeaning for other kids that don't want to partake in any of this. And so when you have these campaigns that are pushing the social agenda, you know, other kids are just there to learn. They don't want to take a position. They don't want to be caught up in this. And, you know, that can be viewed as bullying. Why aren't you participating in the coming out festivities for this week? Well, I just, you know, I'm here to learn algebra. Anyway, as you can tell, it's troubling. And we'll continue to report on this. And I hope that the parents that send kids to middle schools are aware of what's going on there. All right, when we get back, we'll run through the city agenda for the next meeting, a number of items that you should be aware of. So stay tuned for that. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold. Our last segment, we're going to go over the City of Tallahassee meeting agenda, which is going to be next Wednesday. A couple of things that we wanted to touch on. As I told you, there's a $30 million project that they're going to approve. And, you know, this is something that is going to be mostly, obviously, federal money. But it is, wanted to go through this. The city continues, this has to do with the approved the construction contract award and an additional 5% project contingency for the International Passenger Processing Facility project at Tallahassee International Airport. And so they had a bid. I guess they had a couple of companies. This is a big, obviously, a big deal. With a $30 million price tag. It says here, the city continues to set a strategic focus on completing the International Passenger Processing Facility at the Tallahassee Airport by 2024. Once established, the IPPF will be a major driver of economic growth for the Big Bend region. The IPPF project will provide for a terminal expansion to house a United States Customs and Border Protection approved international passenger port of entry and a federal inspection station that will serve both commercial air service and general aviation needs at the Tallahassee International Airport. It says here, when established, Tallahassee will become the region's connection to global markets, positioning itself as a competitive, innovative, and sustainable economic hub. To date, the city has completed the design of the new processing facility and is seeking to commence construction early next year, March of 2022. This item that they're going to be voting on is to award a construction contract for the IPPF costing $23 million with about a $1.1 million 5% contingency to a company called Whitesell Green Incorporated. And so, listen, this is, again, it's a lot of money. It's the COVID pandemic obviously put a little bit of a damper on moving forward with this. And as we have reported, Tallahassee reports tracking the airport passenger traffic. We're about at the levels now, the monthly levels that we were pre-COVID. And so that's good news. And this is obviously looking to expand our footprint. And, you know, look, people that are obviously smarter than I have looked at this. And I know that a lot of people have made fun of the international designation. But, you know, in this, you know, the time here where we've got, you know, a lot of manufacturing, a lot of business taking place overseas or out of the United States, you know, this, you know, could be an issue that helps move the needle a little bit from an economic perspective here in Tallahassee. So we'll see how that goes. You know, obviously, again, you would think this would be a unanimous vote, but maybe there are some other questions that haven't been answered, and we will we'll see what happens with this one. Now, the other thing that I talked about was the no property bid, which has been, you know, that has been an issue for a while on, you know, these vacant properties that the city owns. They want to get them on the tax rolls, and they get proposals. Now, the real estate policy has been that, look, you know, you put it out for bid unless it's not in the best interest of Tallahassee. So we've had two of these that have happened. One of them was the two pieces of property downtown, the St. John's, I think they call them lots, where the company out of Texas, Houston, Texas, proposed $8 million and to build two hotels there. Obviously, it moves from being off the tax rolls to being on the tax rolls, creates jobs. That was a 3-2 vote. There was argument that it should have been put out for bid. I know that Commissioner Porter wanted it to be possibly be something else something that all the community could use. And also there was a property on Gaines Street that they decided to sell to another company, I believe out of St. Pete or Tampa, to do student housing. They felt like they had a sale price that was within the appraised value of those lots. That was a 3-1 vote. I think Commissioner Matlow recused himself. And so now this property is, the city of Tallahassee has received an unsolicited communication from a developer interested in buying, purchasing this 0.26 acres. It's located at Tennessee Street on Tennessee Street between Macomb and Copeland Street. And the let's see what the bid is for or what they have. It looks like they have offered $186,000. No, it looks like it's more than that. And I don't see the number right here. But this will be a debate between, I think, Commissioner Porter and Commissioner Matlow, because it looks like they're doing this. The options are to negotiate terms of the sale or to put it out for bid. Now, they had obviously, the city had not put had not had this out to bid because it was an unsolicited proposal. So, you know, when you don't have something out for sale and somebody comes and offers you money, then you put it out for bid. Boy, it really ticks them off because they're the ones that are saying, look, we'll give you this amount of money for it. Now, obviously, due diligence would be, look, let's go do an appraisal, a market assessment, and see what they were offering, and you can adjust it that way. But here, the interested purchaser intends to construct a mixed-use project consisting of retail commercial space. And I guess this lot that they're looking to buy would be part of a some other property that they already have got together. So again, it'll be interesting to see the discussion here from the city commissioners and if this becomes a flashpoint for another 3-2 vote on the Daily Matlow Show. We'll have to see. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was this English property. There is a, I guess, one and only one public hearing on the ordinance that is proposing an amendment to establish this English property planned unit development. Now, we've talked about this a little bit, and I want to continue to talk about it because it's a real big deal. It's two different parcels. One of them is 249 acres. Another one is 500 acres. And they are over on border Blairstone Road and Tram Road and, I guess you could say, Capital Circle Southeast. But it's right down from Rickards High School. It's in that part of town, the southeast, which has been growing. You've got the VA Hospital just, it looks like, just northeast of this parcel. But, you know, it will be obviously a mix of commercial and residential, but this is we're talking about anywhere between, you know, 5,000 and 8,000 dwelling units is what they're saying. Now, this is obviously not something that's going to happen overnight, but the people that have owned this property obviously have been very patient and have waited for growth around this. I mean, the number of state offices out in the Southwood complex there is huge. This would be obviously a development that would appeal to people that are working out there. You've got the Tallahassee Classical School right there, I believe is on Tram Road. And so, again, development, it will be interesting to see. This is comparable, I think, to what is going on in the Canopy development on the northeast side of town. This is the southeast. So will be interesting to see if there's any discussion among the two commissioners, again, Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter, who have been against some of this growth that we see out in the northeast. Now, I can hear the argument now, though. They're going to say that this is more central to the urban cores within the Capital Circle, unlike the Northeast Gateway. And so I guess that would be a valid argument. But, you know, the point on this is that in the northeast, where you have a higher demand for people to live, you know, the area that is outside of the Northeast Gateway or outside Capital Circle, it is within the urban services plan. Anyway, I think it will be an interesting discussion, and we'll see if that reaches the fever pitch that some of these other development questions have reached. The last thing before we get out of here is the reappointments of Rosetta Bobo, who was Commissioner Porter's appointment to the this is to the Citizens Police Review Board, and also Mujahid Rashad, who was Commissioner Richardson's appointment. They will be up at the City Commission meeting next week. That's a board that has, you know, again, when you start these new boards, it takes a little while to get traction. But we'll have to see if they have any substance to put into this debate over the police chief and how he's doing doing his job with regards to law enforcement. So anyway, that'll be up on the City Commission meeting. All right, that's all the time we have today. Jeff Cameron shows up next. Hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you next week. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright.